Welcome to the Two Mutts Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall. Welcome back to the Two Mutts Podcast, presented by Manscaped. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall, with my co-host, Clay Vanderham. Vandy, how's it going?
Vandy is dandy. Episode Wayne?
99, yeah.
Hey?
Yeah. Episode 99.
Yeah, a nice Sunday afternoon. A rare Sunday off at the Vanderfam household. So the wife and I are just sitting around wondering what the hell we're going to do. So we got to get out and enjoy the weather. I think we might go for a walk or something. So
yeah, nice. We got the other co-host with us. Our other co-host is Brody McIntyre. Brodes, how's it going?
Going great, boys. And older boy had a game last night, went in overtime, big win in overtime, 3-on-3 overtime, the latest thing they're doing now in hockey, which is unbelievable.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's quick, right? It was fun game. So overtime's always good, especially 3-on-3. And I went for a run this morning, a little bit of work, and now I'm here. Solid weekend.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Your hair's always on point, eh, Brodes? You never miss a hair day.
I had a shower today, and I gave myself a haircut the other day.
You never miss a good old hair day. That's awesome. So I guess we'll jump into things. The big news right now is the Chicago Blackhawks have fired Jeremy Colleton as their head coach. So that that finally obviously kind of went through. Is kind of that was the kind of talk lately. Derek King will take over on a interim basis for the rest of the season. You know, and so there's some also other players that were let go, other coaches let go, and that Sheldon Brookbank was another one there too. So Brodes, we'll start with you. You know, thoughts on the, you know, it's been a rough go for that organization to the start of the year. But now this happens too. So thoughts on the dismissal of Jeremy Colleton as the head coach?
Well, 1-9-2, that'll do it. It's about as easy as that. It's a results-driven sport, and if you're not good, you don't have a job. So he's out. Makes logical sense to me. You got to win.
Yeah, you got to win.
Even if they're in a spot like they knew they weren't going to be very good, maybe they were hoping closer to 500 range, but 1-9 is just equals you're fired. See you later. And Derek King, is that like the ex-player?
He is going to take over as interim basis, and yes, Derek King is an ex-player. Yeah, so former NHLer, so former teammate of Jamie McLennan, Noodles, who was on our podcast before. So, you know, yeah, no, I agree. You know, it's results-driven business. They brought in some big names in the summer here. You know, brought in a Vezina goaltending and Vezina goalie and Fleury. So, you know, you get the Jones brothers on the back end and Tyler Johnson up front, and you know, you get a healthy Jonathan Toews coming back too, and you only have one win to show for it. You know, it's not been good enough. Vandy, your thoughts on this move?
Yeah, I think when you saw the meme, and I don't really put much stock into it, but you saw the meme or whatever, the picture of Colleton handing the clipboard to the players, I think that was kind of
writing on the wall.
You saw the writing on the wall that it was bound to happen. So yeah, I mean, agree with what Brode said. 1-9-2, it doesn't matter who it was, you're getting let go. Somebody's gonna pay the price, and you're not gonna make a trade or anything for the players that you just brought in. But yeah, I think they'll turn it around. I don't, like I say, and I've said it earlier, I don't think Toews is still
100.
Like, I've had a chance to watch a couple of the games and just highlights and whatnot. I don't know, Toews, to me, he's not where he was, and he probably won't ever get there. But I mean, who knows? And the off ice stuff could have it could work either way. The teams could work around it and you know, build off it and use it as a driving force. But I think for this, it's obviously having the negative effect, and you know, it has to. There's no way you can escape hearing the news and everything going on, and it's obviously having, I think it's having an effect on that team.
Yeah, and it's not a closed case, right? There's obviously a
correct.
There's more things that will be coming out, and there will be a settlement coming out too. You know, Broge, you weren't on the last podcast. You had a commitment there, but, you know, we'll give you the platform here to kind of talk about what happened with Kyle Beach, what you thought about the interview, get your thoughts as we didn't on our last episode.
Well, the interview shook me to the core, man. That's, being a grown man, that distraught and that buggered up is tough to watch, man. That was awful stuff. And it's your typical somebody in power taking advantage of somebody not in power. That's just the way sexual assault works, sadly. And at the time, he felt he had to do it. So it's awful. It was really sad. I struggled to watch that. I think it was 25 minutes. I struggled to watch it all. I did, but
yeah,
it was awful. And I'm glad people are now coming out and helping this guy out.
Yeah,
he'll be getting paid. Not that that's gonna help him, but fuck those guys. Like, how can you imagine sitting in a room? Somebody says, "Hey, there's been a sexual assault," and you say, "You know what? We got a big game tonight. We got playoffs. Let's not worry about this right now." Like, what the? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, pass the hot potato on to someone else, and
it's awful.
Yeah.
Like, how about just call the police and move on? There it is.
Yeah, like Paul
Vincent. Pick up the phone immediately. Call the police.
Yeah, let them do their thing.
Sorry, man. It was really sad.
Yeah, if you don't feel like you can, obviously the police are there for a reason, right, to take care of these things. So are you with the Quinville dismissal in Florida and then obviously the Bowman dismissal in Chicago? Start with Quinville first, Broads. Do you see him coming back next year? Maybe a couple of years. He's got to sit out. Where do you see that playing out there?
Yeah, I think he probably waits till the smoke to clear a couple of years, probably, right, and kind of wiggles his way back. Maybe as a assistant somewhere, works his way back up.
Yeah,
because he's not. I can't see him coming back right away. I can't see the NHL allowing it either. Right? They'll do a rehab my image type tour like everybody does, and he'll be back. He's a great coach, right?
Yeah,
but I don't think he'll be anytime soon.
Yeah. And Vandy, your thoughts on Stan Bowman? Do you think we see him resurface in maybe the next couple of years?
I don't think either of them ever come back in the game. I just, with culture the way it is, society the way it is, you make a mistake like that, you know, it tarnishes your image. I don't think we see them again. In my opinion.
Yeah. And you obviously, at the end of the day too, there's new blood in the game that can do maybe the job better, but you know, these guys had their opportunity to make something right for 11 years and
correct.
They didn't. So, you know, and they kind of just went on their career. And I think even Gary talked about in his press conference that, like, Quinville coached over 800 games from that point forward, right? Or something like that. So it's, you know, very tough to see. So, you know, we'll see what happens. This, obviously, these next couple of weeks will be big for the settlement. And obviously, as we said, everyone knows, that will be made public. So we'll see how that goes throughout the week. And then the NHLPA has got to do their investigation and whatnot. And, you know, it doesn't look like, you know, Kyle Beach will be a part of it. He doesn't need to relive that again. So it's, as his lawyer had said to Rick Westhead. So we'll see where that goes. But I think for the Blackhawks, you know, this year might be already a bit of a wash. Maybe see what you can have, what can happen here with a new coach on an interim basis. And, you know, maybe try to move forward with some fresh new faces around the organization. But there's nothing new yet on a search for a GM or a head coach. And it doesn't look like that'll happen until the end of the year. So, I mean, money's tight right now too for all these teams, you know, so that might play a factor into it too. But, you know, we'll see. Moving on to positive things, you know, the Edmonton Oilers here, boys, here in Edmonton. Broads, thoughts on that goal by McDavid? I don't know if you were at the game, where you were. Thoughts on that?
I was at a teammate of my kids. They live on a farm. We stopped in there, had ribs for supper, went down to the basement, watched the game, sat at the bar. I was like a six-year-old. I jumped out of my chair and was screaming. Like, that was insanity. And it's like, to think a NHL hockey player can do that with four NHL hockey players around him is, and none of them even touch him.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, man. Like, it's, that looked like a kid novice that's just skates faster than everybody.
And yeah.
Just goes through. To do it at that level is just to be that much better than anybody at the best level is fucking nuts. It's nuts. Yeah. And it was awesome. Yeah. It was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, just the moment of the game, the atmosphere in the arena, the time of the game where the goal was going to be, obviously it was the game tying goal, Connor's reaction after the goal, knowing how important that goal was and how important that night was. You know, obviously Kevin Lowe's number goes up to the rafters that night. So, Bandy, your thoughts?
Well, make no mistake about it, the look on Connor's face was, I think he may have shocked himself by doing
it. He might have.
Just like, how the fuck did I just go through four NHL players and do that? Like, obviously he believes himself, but I don't know. All kidding aside, I mean, yeah, it was a great moment. We had friends over that night as well, and we were all jumping up, and we had the TV in the background. And but yeah, it's incredible what he can do. It's just like, here's the thing that boggles my mind. There are still a lot of kids out there that, you know, and he may have gained some fans from there, but and there's McDavid jerseys all over the place, but like, my kids don't like the Oilers. I know there's other kids that, if you are not a fan of this guy, just even if you hate the team, I don't care. You need this. This is where hockey is going. Like, he's, this is what the next generation of hockey players is going to look like. They're all going to be, you know, everything they can do 100 miles an hour. And it's just, it's insane. Insane.
Yeah.
No way. Did you hear him talk about it after?
Yeah. Oh yeah. His comment after was,
that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm paid to score goals.
Yeah. just calling it how he sees it in his way. Right. Yeah. You know, I think it's nice. He's slowly I think the reaction that is unlike him, the comments after the game are unlike him, which I think now he's maybe embracing the importance and how good he is, you know, now. Like I heard Paul Coffey talk on Oilers Now last week, and he said, when he watched Connor grow up playing in Toronto, he's like, he always wanted to be the best player to everything he was doing. So it makes a lot of sense to see him obviously doing it at the NHL level, but he was doing it in a very humble way when he came to the NHL. He respected it. You know, even talking about going to Team Canada. Well, if I get selected, right? Like, I got to make the team first. Like, not like, you know, like, it, obviously we know that it's a guarantee he's going to be there, but in his mind, like, saying the right things. But I think now it's, you know, I think this year the importance of that night, and it was kind of like one of those nights you're like, ah, oh, man, they're not, the two stars aren't doing a whole hell of a lot. They are, but they aren't. And then, you know, the Rangers top player goes down and scores a goal to make it 5-4. And then you just knew Connor was just like, all right, well, you know, like, maybe Perrin Aram's their best player, but Zibanejad is a pretty good player too. So he scores, and obviously Connor, you know, just does it. And it's, you know, Mike Mathot said on TSN yesterday in the afternoon game for the Sens and Lightning, he's like, it's one thing to do it against like a third pairing defenseman, but like Jacob Trouba.
I know.
He's like Jacob Trouba is like a, like, he's a top pairing defenseman, you know, Patrick Nemeth.
He literally didn't touch him.
And that's it. Yeah. Like, it was just like, you know, and then I know Kelly Rudy had a clip on Hockey Night Canada last night and saying, oh, like, Leon made a pick on Rooney. And it was like a subtle little pick that opened it up even a bit more for Connor. But I think if you aren't even doing that pick, he's still going right around. I know. But you know, at the end of the day, he's going to make that play even if the pick isn't there. But, you know, it's and I think the season's still young, so I think he's going to be able to top this goal, you know. And I think it's,
well, Marner had the goal of the year on Thursday, or whenever, Wednesday, Thursday, and fucking Connor's now.
Yeah.
Hey, I just love that little.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I wish Rupp was on this, because I will sit here and state publicly that it is no contest that Connor McDavid is the best player in the NHL right now. No contest.
Atta boy.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
He obviously doesn't.
Just say it, Bosco.
I said it before on the podcast. No, he is. You know, like we said in our inner turtle chat, like he's gonna lead the league in scoring all year. Actually, right now, Draisaitl has one more point than him. But you know, in my opinion, what I've always said about Connor is, if he's that much better than everyone else, he should get 20 to 30 points more than the next player around him. You know, and we're going to see that. Obviously, you know, there's been nights where Leon's probably been a bit better than him, you know, but Connor's line has been better. They just haven't gotten the results, you know? So, you know, and now the one thing I just don't like with that is like, they like Tippett all just often goes to those two guys, like loads them up. And I think,
why wouldn't you?
Well, I know, but I'm like, my thing is like, you're not going to win in the playoffs if you do that, though. I think for them to go further in the playoffs, they're going to need to be separated. That's my opinion. I could be totally wrong, but I think the better success for them to go further and to win a cup, they got to be on their own lines. That's my thing. Like, it doesn't really matter what you do.
I bet you it's half and half this year-ish.
Well, it is. Like, it was just kind of like, it was weird because I was kind of going with Stauffer, was chatting with Stauffer too, and I was just saying, like, because he's like, you know, look at like Leon's like plus 11 or 12, and then he's like, look at like Nuge and Yamamoto, and I'm like, well, like Leon hasn't played every single game with Nuge and Yamamoto. It's kind of been a 50-50 split so far in the year, so it's kind of, you can't make that argument, like, to say like obviously the plus and minus is good, you know, like Jamie McLennan said it too. He's like, he goes, everyone knows what their plus and minus is as a player. You know, so that stat does matter, whether people want to throw it out or not. It matters to the player. So if it matters to the player, it matters in general when a conversation. So, you know, and that's what, you know, I said a couple of years ago on this podcast, or quite a few episodes ago, I said Leon should have been up for Selke. You know, like, he's as great as he is offensively, I think he's pretty damn good defensively too. You know, look at his faceoffs and look at his point, look at his plus minus. So, you know, but Connor, yeah, he's, you know, he can do things that no other people can, and not even Draisaitl can, and Draisaitl's a heck of a player too. So, but we'll see. In my opinion, like, Vandy, do you think they need to be separated in the playoffs to go far?
Well, I think last year kind of proved it. And I've said this before, and I hate sounding like a broken record, but I think Tippett and the staff are really learning how to, and Friday was an anomaly. That was a game where you're down 4-1. You got to put all your eggs in one basket. Yeah. You do have that luxury. You have two of the best players in the world on a team. Why wouldn't you play them together? Now, in the playoffs, obviously, it's a different beast. We know about that. But I think we've added some key components to help alleviate some of that pressure for the big guys.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we can get our third line. And, you know, Nugent Hopkins, I can't say enough about what he's bringing to this team as well.
Did you hear him talk the other day?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear that.
I missed
it. Because he has, what does he have, 12 assists or something? I don't know what it is, but no goals.
Yeah, 14. He's like, I don't know if I'm slumping or if I'm
– Yeah.
Or on a hot streak or whatever.
Sorry,
no, 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 that was it. I think, I don't think you're ever gonna split them up totally, but in the playoffs, yeah, it'd be nice if they can carry their own line and we can get 3-4 full lines going. But I think you're always gonna have that luxury of putting the two of them together, and them, you know, I don't know if you dangle a carrot, call it that, but you dangle it in front of the two of them. If they're, I mean, they're not struggling, and they probably, they're going to go through struggles throughout the year, but I think, yeah, in order to be successful in the playoffs, you got to separate them.
And they're 9-1, and they probably haven't played a perfect game, but they're 9-1, you know, like,
and
wait till we see what they do when they're playing a perfect game, you know, like, but that's it. They got the depth. They can move Barry from up and down the lineup. You know, they can move interchange Russell and Cuckoo. They can, you know, Bouchard's done good. You know, even Duncan Keith, that was probably one of his best games. You know, I know he kind of got beat on that one goal there by Kreider, but, you know, he's been getting better and better.
And look, their power play's not going to run at 50 all year.
They never know, so right?
Like, they're gonna go, yeah. Well, teams are eventually gonna figure it out. But
well, they haven't figured it out for the last 2.5 years. That's my thing. It's just and they gotten better. Like
yeah.
In my opinion, it's harder to like. I think they could. It's crazy, but the thing is, they added two guys that are better at puck retrievals than Chiasson and Neal in Suljärvi and Hyman. So you know, like, and then it's obviously when Barry's off that power play, then Nurse goes on. And that's a pretty good luxury to have. So you never know. Like, we'll see what happens. And Koskinen has been pretty good in the contract year. And so you gotta, you know, it's interesting to see. Maybe they're gonna prove us all wrong and they could win a Stanley Cup with this tandem. We'll see what happens. But
no, they'll prove you wrong. We never said.
Yeah, well, me and maybe some others that have said it. So
okay,
you know, I know there's still others out there saying it, but
we, Brody, now, and I both agreed or disagreed with the other.
Now, Broads, are you like 9-1? Dave Tippett doesn't have a contract for next year. How soon does this contract extension get done now?
I don't think it does.
No?
I think he's old and might want to
pass on the reins.
You just pack it in and go golfing. He just clearly wouldn't need any more money.
No, no.
I don't think – I think if he wanted a contract, he would have had it beforehand. No. I don't think anything happens.
No. And then do you think someone on the bench takes over? Is it like a Jim Playfair or a Glenn Gullickson?
Good question, buddy.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah. Vandy, what's your thoughts?
I'll be honest. I haven't really thought about it. I it's entirely up to Tippett. I would think that he, you know, I think depending on what happens, if he's got unfinished business, if we don't win this year, I think he wants to see the end of this. So I would think a deal gets done.
Yeah.
Maybe not during the season. I don't know, but
I hope so, because it's done. The mix with him in there, you know, has done really well. So, you know, you would hope it gets done, you know, money wise, you'll see how that works out. But yeah, he's been great as a head coach. You know, now it's like, they're going to dominate through the regular season. It's like, I just wish you can fast forward to the playoffs, but we can't. So we'll see. We'll enjoy this 82 game run as we can. So is there anything you guys are concerned about right now, Broads? Throw to you first. Anything that you see in the first, the 10 games there that you're concerned about, or is it pretty much all positive?
Well, it's all, we're splitting hairs here. Like, yeah, they're 9-1. I don't know. I guess maybe like seem not get outshot as much, but, you know, getting outshot a ton, but maybe they can tighten the screws a little bit away from the puck. I mean, that's always going to be the case, but I don't know. They're 9-1. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's not like they're winning by McDavid getting 3 goals every game. They're winning by the third line chipping in. They're winning 3 or 4 different ways. They've won games. So that's fabulous to see, other than just a one trick pony, right? That's huge.
Andy, your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, it's hard to critique 9-1, right?
And yeah.
I don't see any flaw. The only flaw I think that I would see is teams not getting penalties against them or taking penalties. Mm-hmm. If that power play, you know, if they're in a game where they're not feeling it and they're, you know, sometimes a power play, well, a lot of times the power play can help those offensive players. And I think if they get into a couple games where, you know, just some adversity where they're not getting that power play, then that's where the other lines and our 5-on-5, that would be my only
concern
if that, but yeah. I mean, and we saw it in the playoffs last year, that you don't get the calls. Who knows how they're going to ref it this year, but again, it's playoffs. It's always the whistle gets put away. They let the boys play. So
yeah,
that would be my only concern. You got to find a way to work around that.
Yeah. Maybe getting Nuge going, you know, with some 5-on-5 goals might be something, but overall he's been pretty good. I thought he led that charge in the turnaround in that game on that power play when it was 4-1, when the Rangers could have put it away, and how
he's
aggressive,
awesome.
Yeah. How aggressive that penalty kill was, right? Obviously Jack Michaels alluded to it quite often throughout the broadcast. So, you know, it's good. We'll see how things go. I love this little rivalry that Ryan Whitney and Paul Bissonnette have on Spit and Chicklets. Biz with his tweets today, Kachuk's goal was better. That was the second best goal.
Against an Islander goalie.
Or the best goal on the Rangers goalie and just throwing his jabs. I love it. It's that's what those guys do best is some great content. So I think it's done wonders. And both
Seen
teams
the
are running,
Flames,
right?
They look good yesterday.
They
boy.
Do.
I mean, and it's probably tough. Rangers coming in, late, whatever it was, and going over an emotional game the night before. You kind of knew it was recipe for disaster for them.
Yeah.
Calgary looks good. We might have a battle of Alberta back, boys.
How awesome would that be?
It would be unreal. It's both teams that good. Both teams could play each other in the playoffs. Like it's they didn't trade Kachuk as the rumors were, and they kept that. He's there. So his line's doing good. He had 3 points last night. They're driving in a different way. I watched that game last night. Not many times I would think a pairing with Zadorov and Gabranson would work in the NHL, and somehow it's working, but they did get a Rangers team on 3 games in 4 nights and a later start. So, not much rest. So we'll see how it is. But, they've played some pretty good teams along the way. Some of the teams, same teams the Oilers have, but, they went out east and played some teams there and done pretty good. But we'll see. It's good for the game. And, man, Markstrom. I think what is 8 starts and he's got 4 shutouts.
Four
so far.
Shutouts. Crazy.
Yeah, that's a good way to start. And we saw a good game yesterday between the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes, two probably the best teams right now in the NHL. And the Carolina Hurricanes lose their first game in regulation. Thoughts on the Panthers start Vandy. They're looking pretty good. They look pretty deep.
Well, and like you lose your coach. For obvious reasons, and they didn't even skip a beat.
No,
like they're rolling, and they're firing on all cylinders. Anthony Duclair is becoming the player that we all kind of thought he would coming out of junior, and he just never really seemed to find his stride. Well, he's found it in Florida.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's there, and Carolina's a damn good team, and they handled them. I mean, a game like that. You get a couple bad goals at the start and who knows, but they got a good squad there.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
And Broads, your thoughts on the Carolina Hurricanes and obviously Freddie Anderson 8-0 start as it was going into last night's game, but thoughts on the Carolina Hurricanes. And obviously I know you're a big fan of Rod Brendamore too as a head coach. So
how can you not be? That's team. I don't know if you guys watch them. They're deep. They're fast. They're skilled. Like their back end is unbelievable, man. I like that Slavin or Slavin. He's a heck of a defense. Nikas is unbelievable. That they're deep, man. They're deeper than probably any team in the NHL. No wonder they're so good. Like, no wonder the goalie has great stats. When you got a great team, you got a great goalie.
Yeah.
It works. And they're fun to watch. They're actually, I'm not a big analytics guy, but they're basically their whole team is based on analytics, so maybe it works.
Yeah. Maybe it does.
Money puck.
Money puck.
Yeah, for sure. Also, the Leafs are rolling right now. I'm happy.
There we go.
And I didn't have to smash that panic button, so it was
you
close.
Did smash
I slash it with a sledgehammer. So, yeah. But they're rolling. Obviously, the last 13 goals that they've scored it's the big guys, the $40 million players have scored all their goals. Their last 13 scored. So. Broads, I don't know if you saw the game last night. It was a pretty entertaining game. Some good hits to start the game. Got that rivalry back with Boston. But, thoughts on the Leafs right now?
Wagon. Leafs are a wagon.
What? They're a wagon?
No, they still don't have enough to get defensemen. That's going to be their Achilles heel down the line. But their big boys are scoring like they should. And they're fun to watch. Marner is a special player, man. I like watching him. Matthews can shoot that puck, man. It's impressive to watch. They'd be they're my second favorite team to watch, but that's because I don't get to watch Carolina a lot. So I'm sure
nice.
They would be if I got to see them more.
Yeah.
They're awesome. It's good to see. I like watching Toronto be good. Sorry, some people may not like that, but they're no Oilers, but they're fun to watch.
No, they are. They're fun. They're fun to watch. Before we kind of go back to Calgary, Oliver Shillington, man, a guy that was on waivers last year, couldn't get into the lineup in Calgary. What he's done so far with the Flames is it's pretty good to see there. So kind of give him a shout out there. He's
He can skate.
He can skate. He's finally found that confidence that he needed, and you know it's
well. And I heard it on the broadcast last night that it's his kind of last kick of the cat, right?
He's got
one more chance, and then. But and he's making the most of it. Good for him.
Yeah, so that's good to see there. But yeah, no, the Leafs. I agree. They're in some depth injury. They're in some injury trouble now. But Brody looks like he got banged up. So and Justin Hall has been a healthy scratch the last couple of games, and he was really good last year. So he's found that inconsistency. But talk about Morgan Rielly, Clay's twin brother here, got that big contract extension. So. thoughts on the $7.5 million deal that he got, Vanny?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I said in the chat as soon as it got signed that it's to me it's an overpay, but I guess with contracts the way they are nowadays and you're a big guy, but you know, I don't know. I don't think it's, but it's a hometown discount, I guess, is what you would say.
Yeah, like he's 70-point defenseman, obviously, a couple of years ago, but, you know, it's – I think
it's because he's so quiet. Like, he doesn't – he's not, like, the front four.
No.
Big four, right?
He does wear a letter all the time, but he
does. Yeah, but he's just quiet. He just goes about his business.
Yeah.
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 And maybe that's what I don't see a lot of.
Not as active on social media and all that other things, right?
Any of that. But even, you know, he just quietly goes about his business and gets his points and –
yeah,
you know, maybe it is an underpay him.
Yeah, no, I thought the I was quite shocked about the Adam Fox extension, you know, but you know, but I think he's played over 150 games and he's about 100 points. So, you know, when you really look at it there, yeah, you're projecting him to be better, but you look at him, he's not the most big, he's not the biggest guy, but you know, he had that goal last night that got called off, but you know, Broad's thoughts on Fox as a defenseman and the pay he got.
That because that's the biggest contract coming out of a entry level contract in the history of the National Hockey League. So that's tells you what the New York Rangers think of him, man. And I don't, again, you don't see a lot of him other than highlights because he's out east. But watching him last night was he's special and he's tiny. He's probably, I don't know, he's 5'10 is a guess. I don't know.
That's what it looks like.
He can skate, he's smooth. Kind of reminds me, I know he shoots right and stuff, but he kind of looks like Niedermeyer, the way he kind of just floats around the ice. Doesn't look like he's ever trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's damn good. And that's the going right now. That's what guys get paid now.
And there was that run of defenseman last year, right? So that definitely made a big situation there and, you know, made that kind of to be expendable. So, or to be paid that much is, you know, it's, I guess, good for him, good for his family. But, you know, definitely we're seeing it a lot now in the game where guys are coming out of entry level deals and getting these big, big deals. And wasn't like that before. But it's looking forward to our 100th episode, boys. This is going to be pretty special. You know, we got some good guests kind of lined up. So, Vandy, what are you most excited about for this episode coming up here?
Oh, just catching up with everybody, and then you know, it's kind of an achievement for us and you, and yeah, it's good. We've cracked a century mark, and just catching up with everybody. I think.
Yeah, no, it's some good guests. Some of our regulars coming back for a little. Sit down. Wish we can do it in person, but we'll do it over Zoom. Hopefully we can get Rupper. That's the big one here. I don't know where that guy is right now. Maybe we got he's on a missing milk carton right now, maybe. But bros, before we head out to end this episode, what are you looking forward to that episode?
Well, listen to you guys and all your old school buddies just yammering away, right? I'll let you guys do your thing. I don't even know a lot of those guys, so I'll let you guys do your thing with them, and I'll definitely listen in and see how awesome it is. Because that one, the last few times I've listened to you guys all get together, it's like you're back together from high school, sitting at lunch, talking over what you're doing over the weekend. It'll be good to hear. That's impressive for you guys. I mean, I've only been involved for, 20 episodes would be a guess, 15. I don't know what it is, but. That's impressive. Oh,
more than that.
More, I would say more than us. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, I would say. I'd say around at least 40.
You're a vet.
Maybe. Yeah. More than 40. I think. I'd say at least 40. Man. So.
COVID. Yeah,
we went on. Yeah,
we don't know what's happening anymore.
No, it's been pretty good, man. I'm pretty happy how we've been able to grow this, and you know, it's done wonders in my opinion. You know, we are what we are, and we're happy with the niche audience that we have and the following we have. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool for sure. So, all right, well, yeah, we'll finish up on that. We just wanted to do a newsy kind of podcast, kind of just do. Quick one around the league a bit, some of the major things going on, but yeah, we'll have a good rest of the day, fellas. We'll catch up this week.
You bet. Okay. See you guys.
Take care.
Cheers.
The Two Mutts podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. Use promo code Two Mutts at checkout to get 20% off your order. You can get the Lawnmower 3.0 and you can also get the Weed Whacker. Your balls will thank you. Go-